Hello everyone, welcome to another JTalk Extra Time mini pod. I'm John Steele, and for the next 15 minutes I'm going to round up the midweek action from J3 from Wednesday and Thursday, round 13. Now there are eight games on Wednesday. Four of these games were at the standard 7 p.m. kickoff time, but there were four games earlier in the day for various reasons, so this week I'm going to focus on those earlier matches first. At 2 p.m, Hachinohe beat Seretse Osaka's under-23s 2-0 at home. Taisuke Akiyoshi put Hachinohe ahead in the 9th minute, and Yosuke Kamigata doubled the lead early in the second half when Akiyoshi's header came back off the post. That's a win that moves Hachinohe up to 11th place in the J3 table, while Seretse's youngsters stay bottom of the pile, four straight losses for them. There were two games at 3 p.m. First of all, Imabari and Nagano drew 1-1. Both goals in this game were extremely well taken. Yoshiki Oka's left-footed curler from outside the box put Nagano ahead in the 26th minute, but Imabari were level just 4 minutes later thanks to Masamichi Hayashi's rising drive from just inside the penalty area. A really thumping finish from him. Before half-time, there was some great defending from Nagano, with three defenders on the goal line to block after a mistake from their goalkeeper Nobuyuki Abe. And in the second half, his opposite number, Shinji Okada, made a superb double save to keep the scores level. In terms of squad rotation, Imabari's new Brazilian forward, Leo Mineiro, was on the bench, and he came on during the second half. Incredible hair from Leo Mineiro, but I think I'll save a discussion on that for when Stuart Smith is with me. But yeah, very impressive Barnett for Leo Mineiro. This draw means that Nagano and Imabari are level in the table on 20 points in 4th and 5th place, respectively. In the other 3 p.m. game, there was plenty to talk about at Toho Stadium in Fukushima, where Gamba Osaka's under-23s beat their hosts Fukushima United 4-2 to go 5 games unbeaten. First of all, the pitch at Toho Stadium is in an absolutely terrible state, almost at the point where I think the J-League might have to step in and do something about this. Not much grass. It was a bit like watching a 1970s game from my country, from the UK. The sorry state of the playing surface didn't stop Masaki Ikeda from volleying the home side into the lead in just the second minute, though. But Gamba responded really well, and it was 1-1 by the end of the first half, thanks to a goal from Haruto Shirai. The Gambinos then scored twice in 5 minutes at the start of the second period. The ever-impressive Shoji Toyama volleyed in a corner kick at the far post to make it 2-1, and then Shirai again scored a sublime cushion volley, definitely worth checking out online if you haven't seen it yet. And maybe feeling a little bit left out, another player who's always impressive for Gamba's youngsters, Shuhei Kawasaki, added a fourth goal with a great low shot from outside the penalty area. There was just enough time left for Tokach to pull a goal back for Fukushima with a deflected strike just before the final whistle, but it finished 4-2, leaving Fukushima in 14th place and the Gamba youngsters in 12th. The other talking point from this game is something that you can see a video of this if you check out Stuart's Twitter feed, @sushi_football. Early on, there was a head injury for the Gamba defender Tatsuya Yamaguchi. He clashed with the Fukushima United striker Ismaila. It was accidental, it was innocuous, but he looked, you know, fairly injured, fairly concussed. It was amazing that he didn't really seem to be given a proper head injury assessment. The referee basically asked him, "Do you feel okay?" And he was like, "Yes, I'll okay, I'll carry on." Again, this is something that it's probably better to discuss with Stuart when he's here to bounce off my ideas. But yeah, just another example. We've seen a couple already this season and in previous years. Head injuries not being treated with the seriousness, with the care that they should be in the J-League. And I think Stu and I both have the same concern that someone is going to get seriously injured at some point, and then the rules will change. We'd like to see the rules looked at before somebody gets before somebody gets seriously hurt. Thankfully, Yamaguchi was okay. As far as you know, he could continue. But as always, the same point we come back to. I'm not sure if the decision to stop or carry on playing after you've had a head injury should be left up to the player in question. Maybe there should be some kind of proper head injury protocol in place. Okay, at 6 p.m., The league leaders Akita won for the first time in three games, beating Numazu 3-1 at home. That means that Akita are 3 points clear at the top and 5 points clear of third place, as well as having a game in hand. Numazu were very unlucky not to be awarded a penalty in the first half of this game. The Akita defender Kaito Chida clearly bundled over Ryo Watanabe inside the area. Very surprising that the referee didn't see anything untoward in that incident. Perhaps we've reached the point where Akita are considered a big club by J3 standards and referees are a bit reticent to punish them in this instance. So it was 0-0 at half time, and the visitors actually held out until the midway point of the second half, but then Masaki Okino scored twice in 3 minutes to give Akita a commanding lead. Then now Eguchi's corner was headed home by Han Hogang to make it 3-0. That's the third time Han has scored from an Eguchi corner this season, so very much a winning combination for Akita. Kenshiro Suzuki headed a late consolation for Numazu right at the death, but it wasn't really anything more than that. Numazu have now lost 5 games in a row, so very much out of form at the moment. On to the 7 p.m. matches. There was an absolute banger in Toyama, where second place Kumamoto eventually beat their hosts 3-2. Toyama had lots of early chances in this game, but were somehow 2-0 down after 33 minutes after a brace from Toshiki Takahashi, and his second goal was an absolute cracker from 25 yards as well. Kumamoto let Toyama back into this game, though, by conceding a pretty stupid goal before half-time. The Kumamoto midfielder Sou Kawahara messed up a back pass to the goalkeeper Kei Uchiyama, and Sho Hanai was able to nip in to pull one back, make it 2-1. And the hosts were level 6 minutes into the second half. Big defender Issei Tone thumping home a header from a corner. Kumamoto, though, won this game a little bit controversially with a goal 9 minutes from time. There was a Kumamoto player in an offside position who seemed to be blocking the Toyama goalkeeper Hiroki Oka's view, but the shot from Shuichi Sakai went into net and was given. I think there's a real case for saying that even though the Kumamoto player wasn't interfering with play by trying to touch the ball, he was impeding the view of the goalkeeper. But yeah, the goal stood and it finished 3-2. The only other excitement came in stoppage time. The goalkeeper Oka came up as an extra attacker for a Toyama corner and actually managed to get a header. Unfortunately, it was off target. But yeah, it was interesting to see, you know, basically all 22 players inside the six-yard box for that corner, and both goalkeepers both wearing yellow uniforms as well. So yeah, not something you see every day. That's 3 straight wins for Kumamoto, so they're going well, and at Toyama in 8th place in the standings at the moment. Tottori are still third. They beat Fujieda 3-1 at Axis Bird Stadium. There's now a 7-point gap between Tottori in third and Nagano in fourth in the table. The Tottori defender Rikito Inoue smashed the home side into a 10th-minute lead with a volley from a corner kick, but Fujieda equalised before half-time through Tsubasa Yoshihira. Tottori took control of this game in the second half, though. Naoto Misawa headed home a free kick to restore their lead in the 53rd minute. It's a bit of a collector's item for him. He doesn't score headers very often, possibly ever, not that I can remember. And the home side made the point safe with a breakaway goal in stoppage time. It was Hikaru Arai who finished off that move to make it 3-1. Tottori unbeaten in 4 games now. For Fujieda, I don't think they'll be too disappointed. That's their first defeat in 6 games, and they're in 6th place in the table at the moment. Now, second bottom Saneki missed another chance to pick up their second win of the season, eventually drawing 2-2 away at 7th-placed Sagamihara. A superb goal from Iki Kawasaki, a left-footed curler from long range, the very last kick of the first half, in fact, gave Saneki the lead in this game. That was my favourite goal of the midweek round in J3. And the visitors were in front until the 86th minute. Now, the Saneki defender Atsuki Satsukawa was adjudged to have fouled Ryuji Saito inside the penalty area. For me, this is a ridiculous decision. Satsukawa's hand does go into Saito's face, but there's no way it was intentional, and there's no way it was a foul for me. But a penalty was given, and the Brazilian forward Romulo scored it to make it 1-1. And yeah, typical J-League madness ensued, with Sagamihara actually taking the lead almost immediately. And this time it was a superb goal from Romulo. He chipped the Saniki goalkeeper Kenta Shimizu from about 45 yards. So from being 2-1 down with 4 minutes left, thanks to a soft penalty and a wonder goal, Sagamihara were 2-1 up. There was time for one final twist though, Saniki grabbing a deserved point with an equaliser in the second minute of stoppage time. In the end it was their defender Takaharu Nishino who bundled the ball home from close range. I should also mention Junichi Inamoto started for Sagamihara for the first time this season, but he went off at half time. Saniki are now 4 games unbeaten, which will please their long-suffering supporters. But that 4-game unbeaten run does include 3 draws. As I mentioned, still just the 1 win from their 13 games this season. There was another pretty exciting game at Nagaragawa. I think probably the most noteworthy thing was this game was actually dry. In Gifu home games this season have usually been played in torrential rain from what I can remember. But it was dry for this game where Gifu eventually beat YSCC 3-2. Gifu made the perfect start in the 6th minute. Shota Kawanishi putting them in front from quite a tight angle inside the penalty area. But it was 1-1 at the interval after a superb free kick goal from about 25 yards from YSCC's captain Koichi Miao. He is a dangerous set-piece taker this season. And the Gifu boss, Zdravko Zemnovic, made a double change just before the hour in this game, bringing on Daichi Ishikawa and Hiroyuki Takasaki. These changes proved to be extremely effective, both players scoring with good headers to put Gifu 3-1 up by the 74th minute. YSCC did pull a goal back through Takuya Miyamoto, which made the last 15 minutes very interesting. But Gifu held on to pick up a deserved win, I think. That was their first win in 4 games, and it moves them up to 9th place in the league table. For YSCC, this defeat ends a run of 4 consecutive draws, leaving them in 15th place in the table. Now, there was one game on Thursday evening. It was originally scheduled for Wednesday, but it's September, it's typhoon season, and with a big typhoon passing through Kyushu, the decision was made to move the game between Kagoshima and Iwate from Wednesday 7 p.m. to Thursday 5 p.m. So that game took place on Thursday afternoon / evening. Kagoshima beat Iwate 1-0 in the end, Kenji Baba scoring the decisive goal in the 19th minute. I know it's perhaps good that Stuart's not here for this one, because he's always annoyed when ex-Gifu kind of failures score. So Kenji Baba got the winner in this game. There wasn't really much else to report, I don't think, but Kagoshima now looking upwardly mobile in 5th place, only 1 defeat in their last 5 matches. Iwate will count themselves a bit unlucky though, I think. They managed to hit the crossbar twice in this game. Hiroki Kotani with a well-struck free kick hit the frame of the goal, and in the second half Kyosuke Goto did similar from outside the box with a good strike, which just was off target. So they were a bit unlucky, and that's their 4th straight defeat. So their mini revival that they had in early July is well and truly over, and it leaves them 3rd from bottom in the table at the moment. Okay, before I disappear, there's just time to look ahead to the weekend games in J3. So round 14 is coming up at the weekend. Just 2 games on Saturday, September the 5th, with Sagamihara hosting Fukushima and the in-form Gamba Osaka under 23 sides hosting Fujeda at Panasonic Stadium. The bulk of the games are on Sunday, September the 6th. And there's some good-looking matches here. Iwate hosting Tottori. That's 16th place welcoming 3rd place. Numazu play Gifu. YSCC host Imabari at Mitsuzawa. Leaders Akita are hosting Seretse Osaka's under 23, so a top versus bottom clash. It will be amazing if Seretse can avoid defeat in that game, I would suggest, considering their form this season. Saniki host Toyama. And I think the game of the round must be the game at Egao Kanko Stadium. Kumamoto hosting Nagano, 2nd place versus 4th place. That should be worth watching. The other game on the card is Kagoshima hosting Hachinohe. Just one other programming note. The second half of the game between Fukushima and Gifu, you might remember that was abandoned at halftime due to thunder and lightning, with Gifu leading 2-0 back in round 11. The second half of that game is going to be played next Wednesday afternoon, the 9th of September, at 3 p.m. So the game is going to start from the second half with Gifu leading 2-0. Kind of a typically complicated J League rearrangement, but I think starting from half time with Gifu in front is the right decision. So next Wednesday, September the 9th at 3 p.m. Yes, if you're free, you have DAZN or other means, you'll be able to watch the second half of Fukushima against Gifu from round 11. All right, I think that's all for me for this midweek round. Thanks for listening and downloading, as always. Special thanks as well, as we do every week, really, to the patrons who keep the lights on, keep the microphones on for us. We really appreciate it. And yeah, hopefully Stuart is taking care of a midweek wrap-up from the J2 round. I think he might have got the short straw this week because there was absolutely loads of goals, loads of incidents to talk about from J2 this midweek. Stuart and I should be back early next week, wrapping up the weekend action from J2 and J3 in a podcast together as usual. So I hope you enjoyed the J3 roundup, and yeah, have a good week, enjoy the football, and Stuart and I will be back with you for a J2 and J3 wrap-up next week. Cheers, have a good one, bye for now.